If you'd like to turn to the Gospel of John in the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 48. Very interesting encounter here between Jesus and his critics, the Jewish leaders. John 8, 48 through 53. Listen to what they accused Jesus of. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus was in a running battle with the religious leaders of his day and time. They not only disliked him, they hated him. After all, Jesus was pulling the people's attention away from them. Jesus was trying to call their attention to God, but they didn't like it because they were not having as much influence on the people. Jesus was popular with everybody, and it just drove them crazy because he was popular and because he said what to them were these very outrageous things about God and about religion. They disagreed violently. And they were jealous because Jesus was getting more popular than them. So what did they do about it? Well, here in John 8, we see them throw at him an industrial strength accusation. They said, "Jesus, you are demon-possessed. You are of the devil." That is a powerful accusation to make. Why did they do such a thing? Well, actually, folks, these Jewish leaders aren't any different from any other race or culture or group or mindset or nationality that ever has existed across the course of human history. No, they're really not. As a matter of fact, everybody does this. Everybody, or at some time or another, will attempt to demonize the opposition. It's a common thing to do. If you violently disagree with somebody, you don't necessarily argue their point or what they're talking about. You attack them. "Hey, I know what's wrong with you. You're evil. Oh, as a matter of fact, you're of the devil." You've heard it before in many different ways. I'm very grateful to Elaine Pagels, who is a very eminent Bible teacher and scholar. She wrote a book about, I think she called it The Origin of Satan. And in it, she goes on to demonstrate from the New Testament how, like even in the Gospel of John, how she thought he tended to demonize the Jewish leaders, and the Gospel writer tended to demonize Judas, you know, and so forth. And I think she was on to something there. I could really see what she was talking about. But the really good insight I got from her book was that everybody does this. The final rock to throw at somebody is to demonize them. And she said that's a very immature thing to do. And I think she was right. And then when my antenna got up about this, I could see it kind of everywhere that you look. People like to demonize the opposition. Look what Hitler did with the Jews in the 1930s. He needed an enemy for the state so he could grab power, you know. And who did he demonize? Nazi propaganda portrayed the Jews as being just evil-looking. If you've ever seen any of the posters that they produced, they have wicked-looking eyes and a really sharp hooked nose and even horns on their heads. Hitler demonized the Jews so he could say, "We've got to fight this enemy," and he could grab for power. Governments and tyrants have a way of wanting to do that, demonize the opposition. But what is worse, Hitler and all of his crew just didn't say they were bad people. He went on to do the horrible thing of even killing them, systematically killing them, and we call that the Holocaust. What an awful thing to do. Remember back in the 1970s when the mullahs of Iran overthrew the Shah? You know, they got rid of the Shah and they put themselves in power, the Islamic leaders over there. And who did they blame all of their troubles on, all of their national troubles? The United States, of course. And what did they call the United States? The Great Satan. Yeah. Even in the last recent months here, the president of Venezuela, Victor Hugo, he's called, that's not his name, Hugo Chavez, excuse me, not Victor Hugo. Let's see, I even write things down sometimes. Hugo Chavez. What did he call President Bush? A lot of different things, but he called him a devil. A devil. Are just the foreign guys do this? I suspect that back during World War II, we had this intense conflict going on with the Axis powers, Germany, Japan, Italy. Found it real easy not to talk about the Germans, but those dirty krauts. And those little slanted-eyed, short enemies of ours were the stinking Japs, you know. The Italians, they weren't too significant, so we didn't get around to saying a whole lot about those WAPs, you know. But you demonize somebody, especially your enemy. And Americans could do that easily during World War II. But it doesn't just happen on a grand scale of nations, peoples. No, it can get personal, too. When I was in Danville, as a pastor there, I was one of several pastors that would write insight columns for the religion section of the Saturday paper. Just little insights into God and the Bible and spiritual things. And one time I wrote an article that had to do with the grace of God. How we were saved by grace completely and fully and totally. It's all a gift and so forth. And I emphasized it so strongly, and I guess the way I finished that column, that it left some people with the impression that I kind of thought that, well, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, anything goes. Which is not something I believe at all. I know we're saved by the grace of God completely, but I said it so fully and so totally that some people thought I was saying, doesn't matter what you do. Anything goes. Well, I got a letter from a guy in South Boston. And this guy wrote me a scathing letter. Absolutely. And in that letter, he called me the devil. Me? You know, the devil? He'd never met me. He had never heard me preach. He had no idea who I was, and yet he knew from that one writing that I was the devil. Well, I wrote him back a letter, made it back as gracious as I possibly could, and said, "My dear brother, I may be guilty of poor writing, but I'm not the devil." And I say, "I didn't write very clearly, and I know full well, and here's the other side of the coin of truth, that it matters very much what we do," and, you know, cited scripture for him and things like that, and tried to give him a gracious response. Now, I could have fired back a letter and said, "You idiot, you moron," you know? But then I would have been guilty of the very same thing, demonizing him. And maybe he was a very sincere believer and intensely loved the Lord. I don't know. I'd never met him, so I couldn't demonize him back. That would have made Jesus very, very sad. But it's hard. It's hard not to strike back in kind, you know, and demonize somebody back to you. It's hard to return kindness for hatred. And yet when I see Jesus being tortured, insulted, spit on, beat up, and nailed to a cross, I guarantee you, if they'd done that to me, I would have been probably spitting insults and calling them devils and just vile. But what do we hear Jesus say? What do we hear him do? Call down fiery lightning on the heads of those devils who are killing him? No, the Son of God opens his mouth and he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Wow. Wow. And yet people in 2007 are still doing what the Jewish leaders did in 29 AD, demonizing those they don't understand and those they don't agree with. People can demonize homosexuals, can't they? Call them all sorts of ugly names, as if homosexuals are all deviants and perverts and sexual predators, and you know a whole lot of other names for folks like this, right? That are really, really crude. Now, I don't pretend to understand or be able to explain homosexuality, and actually I'm not talking about that subject today. I've known plenty of people who are homosexuals, and they are anything but demon-possessed or devils. They're wonderful human beings and made in the image of God and not to be denigrated and talked down as if they aren't animals. No, we don't do that. My point is, the topic of this is so loaded with emotion that it doesn't seem like you can even talk about it today. What happened to that army general this past week who expressed his own personal opinion about what homosexuality was? Man, he expressed his opinion and folks were shooting at him and demanding that he be fired, right? And then this week, Dr. Al Mohler, who is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, a very, well, you might say conservative, fundamentalist, very strict sort of guy in religious views, on his web blog, he floated the idea that we really ought to be prepared that maybe in the near future there would be solid evidence that homosexuality is biologically determined and not a choice. Man, he got slammed by the right, didn't he? They just about wanted to take him out and crucify him. But in the very same blog, he also said, but you know, I think homosexuality, even at a very young age, is something that can be cured. Man, he got slammed by the left over here. And one of his critics said, you're a Joseph Mengele. You know who Mengele was? The head of the Nazi organization that liked to exterminate Jews and Gypsies and Romanians and all these other folks. My point is not about homosexuality. It's a point about that what do people do when they violently disagree with somebody? They demonize them. In this case, the folks on the left called this man making this observation, they called him a Nazi. As a matter of fact, I think that's probably the word we've substituted for demon these days. We don't believe in demons, really, so we don't talk about that much. But it's real easy to call somebody a Nazi. And we're just about saying the same thing. What does Rush Limbaugh, the radio personality, what does he call the feminists? Feminazis, right? What do people who disagree with Rush Limbaugh call him? A Nazi hate monger, right? Perhaps Nazi is the modern shorthand that people use for demonizing others. Before the civil rights movement in this country made it possible for us to relate to black people as human beings and full-fledged participants in the American dream and all the good things that that movement did, what did the white establishment of power tend to do with the American black? Except to demonize them. Talk about how lazy they are, good for nothing, maybe even suggest subhuman. Heh, terrible thing to do, to demonize somebody you don't like. But then, in the 1960s, when the black radical militants were allowed to voice their expressions and their opinions and their ideas, what did they say about white America? Referred to those white devils. Turned right around and demonized the white people. Okay? So it's just always a two-way street. But only immature people do that. Mature people, like our older brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible calls him our older brother, he's the one we ought to be modeling our behavior after. And even to the people who were torturing and killing him, he doesn't demonize them. He prays for them. But you know, folks, I got to warn you, 2008 is coming. What is coming in 2008? Oh, Lord, help us. It's a presidential campaign. Oh, my goodness. We got to ride through that. How many of you want to bet that none of the political candidates will demonize the opposition? I don't see a hand going up. You wouldn't bet on that for a moment, would you? What are we in for? First of all, they will demonize each other within their own party to try to win the nomination. Oh, this person's out to destroy America. Enemies of the right and the good. They're dishonest. They're devious. The mud is going to fly. And then after the candidates are picked, we'll see the same thing. Oh, man. What's going on here? The U.S. Senate race in Virginia last year made a lot of us sick to our stomachs. Why? Because it wasn't a discussion of the issues. It wasn't talking about the candidate. It was simply, a lot of it was demonizing the opposition. Please. It's okay to disagree with a candidate. It's okay not to like his or her opinions. But don't demonize Hillary Clinton. Okay? Or pass along the stuff that's really wicked and vile about her or any other candidate that you might disagree with. You're demonizing the opposition. Or maybe you think that Rudy Giuliani or John McCain hold the positions that are just awful. Awful. Don't demonize them or their opinions. And don't say, well, that's the work of the devil. Be mature and considerate of everyone, even the politicians. Because I can't imagine Jesus saying ugly things about people he loved enough that he was willing to die for them. And he died for us all. And you know, folks, yet church people will even demonize each other. It wasn't too many decades ago that Baptists and Catholics tended to demonize each other. They had little or much of anything to do with each other because they even doubted that the other was Christian at all or within the Christian faith. I can't remember who I was talking to, but I was talking to an older lady, and she said, you know, when I was a kid in the town I grew up in, which was mostly, you know, Baptists and all those kind of folks, if you saw the Catholic priest walk down the street and he passed you by, you didn't speak to him. And I said, you've got to be kidding. And she said, no, that's just the way it was. I said, lady, you know, I've been in several ministerial support groups, pastors getting together, and in several of those groups, the local Catholic priest was part of the group. And I experienced him to dealing with the very same faith dynamics and issues and questions and things within church life, the very same things that all of us were dealing with. And I got them to know them as dear Christian brothers. I can't believe that it would be any other way. We have so much in common in following Jesus. Yeah, there are points of church polity and certain beliefs that we just don't agree on at all. But it doesn't matter about loving Jesus. I praise God that Baptists and Catholics are both well past demonizing each other, even to the point where our right-wing Baptist leaders, who I disagree with about a lot of things, in this day and time, they are willing to work with Catholic leaders to address the moral issues that they think are important for Christians to talk about. Hey, that's great. That is a good new day. Praise God that it is that way. And yet, even in our local churches, immature Christians can demonize one another. I heard about this taking place in Parisburg Baptist Church a number of years after I had served there as pastor. There was some church conflict going on. There was some issue at hand. I don't even remember what it was. But one of the dear ladies of the church, who just was a wonderful Christian lady, was up at the front making some point or observation about the issue being discussed. And one of the men on the other side of the question or the issue was heard to say, "That's the devil up there." Can you imagine that? Calling this dear Christian woman, "That's the devil up there." Now, the person who was telling me this said she was awfully glad that that woman's husband wasn't there at the meeting, because he would have punched that guy's lights out. He really would have. What an offensive thing to say and do. Of course, punching his lights out wouldn't have been the right thing to do, but you can understand how that would hurt. And yet, we've seen too many times and heard how factions forming in a church, rather than calmly discussing the variety of ways of looking at things, and there are always a variety of ways of looking at things. People don't talk about the pros or cons of an idea, but they just get around to attacking those who disagree with them and attribute their opinions to the devil. How immature. how immature. There are preachers who make a living out of demonizing others. They don't talk people up, they talk other people and other groups down. That is never the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never. You know, folks, on Judgment Day, you and I are going to stand before the God of this universe. And He is going to ask for an accounting of ourselves and tell us about our goodness or badness. And many of us will want to say to Him on that day, we'll say, "Well, Lord, I loved my family and my friends." And He's going to look at us with a blank stare that will be absolutely terrifying. And after an awkward silence, we're going to say to Him, "What? Isn't that a good thing?" And God Almighty will look us in the eye and say, "You've got to be kidding. That's it? That's all you have to say? Hey, even the most evil people on earth in the history of mankind loved their friends and loved their family. Even the Nazi Gestapo chiefs treated their own children with great tenderness and affection, even on the very same day that they sent thousands and thousands of Jewish children into the ovens to be burned to death. You have got to be kidding. You say you love your families and your friends, that tells me nothing. What I want to know is, how did you treat your enemies? That's what I want to know. Did you do what my son told you to do? Did you love your enemies? Did you pray for those you disagreed with? Or did you demonize those who persecuted you?" Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ makes it perfectly clear in His words and His actions that we will not be judged by how we treat our family and our friends. We will be judged by how we treat our enemies. So as you move forward in your walk with Christ, be careful. As you move forward in your walk with Christ, be mature. Don't demonize others, but in the name of Jesus Christ, love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're lazy. We're so lazy that we don't think. We are so lazy that we don't work at relating to one another or the people we disagree with. We're so lazy that we don't listen. We just talk a lot of times. Forgive us, Father, for we're the ones who don't know what we're doing. Help us to listen to Jesus and work as hard as He works to understand, to care, to empathize, to love. It's a big ticket item, Lord, the one you want us to have and to fulfill. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.